because he lives. Oh, all fear is gone. Oh, because I, oh, yes, I know he holds my future, and life is worth a living just because he lives, oh, because he lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow, oh, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know, yes, I know he holds my future, and life is worth a living just because he, oh, because the Savior lives, because he lives, oh, he lives. I can face tomorrow, oh, I can face tomorrow, because he, oh, all fear is gone, because I know, yes, I know he holds my future, oh, and life is worth a living just because he lives. We are standing, oh, on holy ground, oh, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us pray, oh, let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy ground. Oh, we are standing, we are standing on holy ground. That there are angels all around. So let us, oh, let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing presence on holy ground. Oh, burn on, oh, burn on, oh, let a fire, oh, fire of God burn. Till all my dross is burned. turned away. Prepare me for the rapture day. Oh, fire of God, bring on.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you for your grace and your mercy that has led us into your house once again. Father, even as we start off today, we pray your blessing upon us, O God. Father, O Lord, after spending a week, Lord, and how we love to come into the church on Sunday to be renewed, to be refreshed, Lord, to receive new instructions that we may be able to face the week that is before us, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that everything that will be done today may be done in the name of Jesus Christ for the honor of thy kingdom. Praying, Lord, for our sister Angel as she takes the children's Sunday school this morning. Bless her and use her, Lord, for the glory of your name. I pray, Lord, for the musicians as you use them in music, oh God, to prepare our hearts. I commit them into your hands, Father. And I pray, Father, even for the sound engineers, the cameramen, Lord, use them, Lord, that everything may just coordinate in the right way, Father. Praying even for Brother James with the youths this morning. Bless our brother, anoint him and use him, Father, O God, that one of them, O Lord, even more of them, may receive something full of virtue that will help them to overcome things, Lord. I pray even for our pastor as he would come, Lord, to minister your word before your people. Use him also this morning, Father, Lord, that we may receive something that would shape us, Lord, and help us to face the challenges of this hour, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you be with me also, Lord, as I bring this small thought before your people. I ask, Father, that it may help someone, Lord, Father, to be able to contact you, Lord, that, Father, they may have your attention and that you may answer their prayers, O God. Grant us grace this morning. Bless those that are still on the way. We commit them into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 May God bless you, saints. I have a small thought that I thought I would share with the saints to help us. When you are reading the message or listening to the message and something strikes you and you'll be like, oh my God. Then you begin to look back and see when God answered your prayers, and then you begin to say, yes, that's what it was. And you just can't wait to share it with others, just so we can help one another to face the enemy, because our enemy is real, but our God is real as well. So I would like to read this morning from the book of Job, chapter 28. I intended to read the whole chapter, but I will skip some of the verses because it's a real nice chapter. Chapter 28, I'll read from verse 1. Thank you, brother. Job 28, verse 1. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. So when they say vein for the silver, it's a place where you find it, a vein of silver under the ground. So surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searches out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaks out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it is dust of gold. I'll just skip to perhaps verse 12. So we find a lot of the things that people look for, gold, silver, sapphires, and everything. There's a place where they are found. If you want gold this morning, You go to a place and you can find where there is gold, where there is diamonds. If you go there and find, you will find the diamonds. But in verse 12, he says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? So we know where to find all these things, but where shall we find wisdom and the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth said, it is not in me, and the sea said, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price of it. What is this wisdom? You can't even buy it with gold or silver. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophi, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then comest wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? I will skip again to the last verse, 28. Maybe 23, brother, just for context. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. And when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto men he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord. There's not amount of gold in this world could buy wisdom. There's not anything, Father, that can be weighed against wisdom. And Father, when you spoke to men, you said, Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So help us this morning, Father, that we may search a little, that it may help us, Father, Lord, that we may also attain this wisdom. For we desire it, Lord, above rubies, above gold. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So I wanted to speak just a little bit about this wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. When you begin to fear the Lord, it's wisdom. But then some may ask to say, but why do I need wisdom? Wisdom is a very important thing. We find in the Bible there that it's more precious than gold. You can't buy it with gold. You can't buy it with all the wealth in this world. You can never buy wisdom. But God is giving us today a way of getting wisdom. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. I think Solomon speaks about it as well in the book of Proverbs a lot. He mentions a lot about wisdom. In Proverbs 10:27, he speaks and says that wisdom prolongs your life. So if you didn't know, today you know that wisdom prolongs your life. Proverbs 10, in verse 27, I will just read that quickly. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So wisdom, there's no amount of money that can ever prolong your life. But the fear of the Lord, it prolongs days. And then again in chapter 14, he speaks about wisdom. Verse 26, Solomon says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You can never buy confidence. But in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. So when things are going on in the world and you need a place of refuge, the fear of the Lord gives you that. And then in verse 27, just after that, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So there's so much that the fear of the Lord can give us. And to find the fear of the Lord, to find wisdom is the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. So in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And we are all faced with death. But there's a more serious death that can come upon us. But the fear of the Lord takes us away from that kind of the snare of that death. In chapter 19, he mentions something again about wisdom. Verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Tendeth means leads to life. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. So when you have the fear of the Lord, you are going to abide satisfied, satisfaction. There's no money can buy that. You can have millions of dollars and sit down and say, oh, rest now, my soul. I have all this. What else shall I need? But one day, as sure as anything, you will die and leave all that. None of that will help you. But there's a satisfaction that when you are faced with death, no money can buy that. Only the fear of the Lord can provide that kind of satisfaction. He shall not be visited with evil. So when you have money, you can be visited with evil. But when you have the fear of the Lord, no evil can visit you. Even when it comes, because you have such confidence, and that place is your place of refuge, it can't get to you. So the fear of the Lord is very, very important, something that we must treasure as Christians, because it opens door for you. It opens so many things for you that you can never value what the fear of the Lord can do for you. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Now, what is to fear God? What is the fear of God? I think a lot of people can say a lot of things about the fear of God, but the prophet says the fear of the Lord is when you have reverence for God, when you have respect for God, when you respect the things of God, everything that is to do with God, when you have such a reverence where you come in such a way, I don't know how it can be taught. I don't think it can be taught. But I think everybody has experienced it in some way, especially those that would go to look for a job. And you know you are going for a job interview, and you get to the place, and this is the person who's going to interview you for the job. You have some reverence towards the person. You don't just speak to them to say, oh, hello, how are you? Yeah, I'm here for the... You know, there's a certain way that you hold yourself. Yeah. And it's not something that you can put on. It's something that comes from inside, where you hold yourself a certain way to reverence, to respect the person. You know, if you know that this brother here is the president, there's a certain way you are going to... I know we have no respect for persons, and we don't respect people because of that, but we still respect people. If a man walks there on the street and is dressed in a certain shabby way, because we love all people as Christians, we are going to love the man, but our level of respect is going to be different when somebody tells you that this man is the mayor of the city of Dublin. Then you'll be like, oh, I didn't know. I've seen it happen many times when, say, Brother David would go to the airport and pick up a certain brother who's visiting, you know, and bring him to church, and they are talking and they are fellowshipping. Then they come in church, and the service goes on, and then after the service, maybe I'm speaking to that brother. And I said, oh, it's Brother David who brought you from the airport. He's our deacon here, you know. And then the everything changes with that brother. Now he said, oh, the brother didn't tell me. I didn't know. And he goes to try and greet the brother a second time, this time with a certain level of respect, a certain level of reverence. That's how we must reverence the things of God. When we have that kind of a reverence, you don't know what it can do for you. That's what I want to show here today. If you go away with anything from this Sunday school class, is that reverence for God, for the things of God, it can do something. That's where you actually begin to get the Holy Spirit to do things for you. Because we all want for God to do things for us. But we have been Christians for many years. Sometimes many people can go 4 or 5 years, not a single prayer answered in their life. And you wonder, how are they surviving as a Christian? But sometimes we lack some simple things. It's not the big things we do, but it's how you prepare yourself when you are coming to church. How do you prepare yourself when you are going for an interview? I remember when I was going for an interview, after a long time of not working, the whole day I was researching about that company. I was looking into the newspaper articles about that company. Who's the owner of the company? And this, everything about the company. And when I went to sleep that night, I remember putting Hannah to sleep. And I said, let's pray, Hannah. Tomorrow, Daddy is going for a job interview. I want you to pray. When you are praying, you pray for me, because I want to get a job. And then she prayed, and then I prayed, and then we all went to sleep. And I woke up again 3 o'clock in the night. I went to pray. And then when I woke up early in good time to go to the place, it was not so far, but I woke up so early, prepared myself, and I put on my best clothes and get into the car. I had made sure the car is ready for the morning. All the fuel is in there. The tires have the amount of pressure they need. And I went to the place, found my parking, and I was waiting there maybe 30 minutes before my interview time was up. That's how much I reverenced the process. But what do we do when we are coming to church? Saturday night, we sit up all night until maybe 2 a.m. Then you wake up the very last minute just so you can make it to church just before Brother George comes to do song service. There's no reverence in that. And then you say, oh, God doesn't answer my prayers. There's no reverence in it. If you go and listen to a message called Respects, the prophet says, God demands respect. He demands it. And we have to give him respect. Just as much as you demand respect from your children, because they are your children. You went through things to have those children, and you demand respect out of them. There will be a problem in the house if a child doesn't respect the parents. But what about our Creator, the one who actually created us? And we don't even reverence the place where we come to meet to speak to God. No, even in your house, you have all kinds of things on the wall. And how do you expect God to come and dwell in your house like that? What more in your life? When you have all kinds of things that are contrary to God, there's no reverence at all. And you expect God to tabernacle in you. It's not possible. The prophet says you will never get anything out of God without reverence. And I want here to read a few places. Maybe we start with the Shunammite woman. We all know the Shunammite woman, how Elisha would pass by. The Bible says, and she compelled him to pass by the house. Say, come and eat, come and eat. Then one day she said to the husband, let's build a little room by the side for the man of God when he comes. She had respect to the man of God. She reverenced him. When he comes, she would prepare a meal, give him. She never got tired of doing it. And then she even moved a step higher. Say, now let's even build a room next to our house. You know what that did for her? When Elisha was tired from his journeys, he came to the place. They were given food like every day. And then she says, you can go and lie in there and rest. There's a bed in there. The man of God went in there, lied on the bed. And the Spirit of God came upon him because it was so pleasing to God that now my prophet has a place to rest. And she said, what can we do for this woman? What can we do? You see how respect opened the door for this woman. She wasn't even looking for a child. She was satisfied. She was a rich woman. She couldn't have children. She was content. Remember I said, reverence, the fear of God, gives you satisfaction. She had fear of God in her life all this time. And she came to a place where she had no children, but she had satisfaction. The prophet said, Gehazi, call the woman. She came. What can we do for you? Should I speak to the king or somebody for you? She said, no, I'm well, we are rich, I have need of nothing. And she went back. Gehazi said, but the woman has no child. The prophet said, call her back. And she came, said, this time next year, you will have a child. You see what reverence of the things of God can do. She was so diligent in preparing for the prophet. Now look what a door was opened for her. And she had a child a year later. And the enemy came to destroy that testimony by killing that child. Now, if she had not built that little room, where was she going to lay the dead child? See? And she went and brought the prophet. God knew from the foundation of the world that that child would be raised in that little room there. Amen. If she had not built it because she had, She was stingy with her resources or things like. You see how much we deprive ourselves of God's blessings when we don't reverence the things of God, or when we don't do things for. Because if we really come down to it, there's a portion of God dwells in Brother Shepherd. There's a portion of God in Brother Sheldon, in Brother David. So am I reverencing the things of God when I sit in my house and say, did you see what shed Brother Shepherd was wearing? Ah, that brother. And I'm talking, what? And I expect God to dwell in my life when I speak about brothers like that? No, there's no reverence at all. Even when we come into church here, we sit down and we all know what the prophet says about church order. No, 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 no. Those things are not important to us. We just move the way we want and we let our children run around. Now, many of us are very good here, but I think these things need to be spoken so that we can constantly remind ourselves, so that we don't deprive ourselves of the presence of God, because it can really do something for you. Remember blind Bartimaeus, when the prophet says, he shouted and called for Jesus. There is no way Jesus could have heard Bartimaeus, but it was by faith that Bartimaeus managed to stop Jesus out of all that crowd. Now I found something here that I would like just to mention a little bit. I was listening to a message, God's Covenant with Abraham. And the prophet now was doing a prayer line. And the people were coming in the prayer line. And there was a certain woman in the prayer line. And the prophet says, that woman, before she came before the prophet, he says, that woman has already made contact with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you want to make contact with somebody important who can help you solve some of your problems? How happy would you be to live, to say, I have a contact, Brother Will, of a person who works in the Department of Justice, and he promised that he will look at my papers. You will be so happy. Yeah? But what if you make contact with the Holy Spirit? Amen. That's what this woman had done. That woman has already made contact with the Holy Spirit standing right there. Yeah? Amen. Because it's between her and I right now. Isn't that wonderful? How obedience, he never said what obedience does. That's it. It's respect. Amen. Brother, what more do you want God to do for you? God has given us such a message, an earthquake of a message. The woman has already made contact with the Holy Spirit. It's respect. So the woman used the respect to contact the Holy Spirit. Yeah? What if Martha would have run up to Jesus and said, you hypocrite, why didn't you come when we called for you? And so forth. He said the miracle wouldn't have happened. But she approached him reverently. Yeah? She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But even now, whatever you ask, God will give it. See, that's what she was supposed to do. She contacted with reverence. I stopped the tape at that point and rewinded. That was too much for me. She contacted the Holy Spirit with reverence. You see how you can stop Jesus today in this place here. The pastor will come and start to preach. And you have such reverence because all night you were meditating to say, Lord, if you let the pastor come through a certain place to answer my prayer, you're preparing, you're having reverence for the things of God in your heart. And you come here with such reverence, you sit in your seat, you pray silently, you start reading something, listening to good music, prepared your heart. That's reverence. You are reverencing the things of God because this is not a playground. This is where we come as believers to meet together with God. And you reverence the things of God. And that reverence will contact the Holy Spirit for you. Amen. It will, because that's what happened to this woman. That's what she's supposed to do. She contacted with reverence. Not like the soldier who put a rag over his face and hit him on the head with a stick and said, you are a prophesier, tell us who hit you. Tell me who hit you. He didn't get nothing. Neither will anybody else that comes criticizing. But those who come reverent, like those brethren, a few minutes ago, you get something from God. My, I really believe that we deprive ourselves when we have no reverence for the things of God. But when we have reverence, and then you wonder to say, how come that brother Every week he has a testimony of the things God is doing in his life. There, reverence for the word of God. It will contact the Holy Spirit for you and get it to do things for you. Because now when you contact the Holy Spirit, he will stop and ask, what do you want me to do for you? And you will receive your request. Now, if we can do that, saints, I really believe that many of the things that we struggle with, they just begin to fall away like that. Time has gone. There's not enough to go through the other things that I wanted to say. But by God's grace, we will. Of the little girl in Finland, she stopped the prophet. She had reverence for the prophet. If you want to go and listen to the account of it in Glorified Jesus, a message from 1955, he speaks at length about how she managed to get her leg healed. And the prophet says, what healed her? Her reverence and approach. That's what healed her. And if we can stop Jesus Christ this afternoon, when the pastor comes, when the musicians come, and you have reverence for every song that they choose, no criticism, reverence. By the time the pastor comes, you will be healed. Your prayer will be answered. Then by the time the pastor comes, your character gets built, and you become a full man, a full stature of a perfect man. May God bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. May you bless your people, Lord. I pray that, Lord, this would help someone, that, Father, they may be reverent before you, Lord, and that this may contact you and stop you, Lord, that you may answer their prayers. We commit them into your hands. Bless them this morning. Bless us all, Lord, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.